Hello, everyone, and welcome to Managed Healthcare Executives Monthly Tuning into the C-Suite podcast. In this podcast series, editors of MHE chat with healthcare professionals and executives in the C-Suite. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery and organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hello, and welcome to this month's episode of Tuning into the C-Suite. I'm Brianna Contreras, an editor of Managed Healthcare Executive, and in this episode, I had the pleasure in chatting with Erica Jane, CEO and co-founder of the digital health company, Healthy. In this discussion, Jane shared some of the challenges or things to avoid when creating a digital health startup based on her journey with Healthy. She also addressed some best practices and tools that can help those working toward a digital health startup. Hello, Erica. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, no problem. So if you can, for our listeners, can you give our listeners an idea just of who you are at Healthy and what the mission of your organization is?
Absolutely. To introduce myself, I am Erica Jane, co-founder and CEO at Healthy. We are an API-first EMR platform for virtual-first companies that focus on longitudinal or recurring care. We have been building since 2016, so almost 8 years now. Bit about our company, we've taken on a little bit of financing, but actually operated profitably for more than half of our career to date and our company to date. And what that has allowed us to do is really think long-term about the best way to build and grow a business.
Wonderful. Great. So I was actually going to ask, so when you did start Healthy, so that was around 2016 then, you said?
Yes. So we started Healthy in January 2016. We were students at the University of Pennsylvania then, had zero intention of building and starting a company, yet lo and behold, here we are today. We applied to Techstars in New York City, were accepted, and that was really the impetus to get started with the company.
Wow, that's an awesome story to hear. Very inspirational, too.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, no problem. So if you can just, with your experience in starting Healthy, can you maybe share some don'ts or the challenges that maybe you experienced that, you can share with others just in starting a digital health company?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll take a step back and, talk through what we do and why that is important for founders or prospective founders. So we are a SaaS platform. We sell in digital health. So HIPAA compliance, security, and privacy are very much at the forefront of how we have built and operated the company. We have thousands and thousands of clinicians who use our platform every day with millions of patients. And so that really speaks to core areas of expertise that we embodied in our culture, DNA, and how we prioritize making decisions as a company. So Healthy sells software. And as a result, we've really made the decision to be best in class at technology and build out that infrastructure relative to what our customers do, which is build out technology for clinical care, clinical outcomes, differentiated models of virtual health. And when we think about the early days of building a company, I think the earliest days of founders, you think about, okay, well, how much time do I dedicate towards a business plan? How much time do I dedicate towards finding a team? How much time do I dedicate towards finding those initial customers? And the reality is you got to do a little bit of everything, but I harken back to the days where it was just Kevin and myself, and we would just build and sell. I'd spend all my days just really talking to customers and prospective customers, getting their feedback. Kevin would build that, and we just had really, really, really fast iteration cycles. So, going back to mistakes, we've made so many mistakes at Healthy. And what I'm grateful for is that we've really been able to learn from our mistakes over time. And we like to say at Healthy, we make mistakes, we don't make the same mistake twice. And we really do take the time to learn from the challenges that we've had to date.
Awesome. Thank you. I think I did mean to ask, so you mentioned Gavin, Is
I have
that
my co-founder, Kevin. Yeah.
That was what? I'm sorry.
Kevin, my co-founder.
Okay. What is Kevin's full name, if you don't mind me asking?
Kevin Klinsky, and he's our co-founder and CTO.
Got it. Got it. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. So I guess what were some of those challenges, if you can share, you know, maybe for others who are looking to also do, you know, a startup, a digital health company, what are some things that they should avoid that, you know, you experienced?
Yeah. So we actually recently published a list of, you know, five early mistakes we made as an early stage company. And, you know, if I had to distill that list, one, it comes down to keeping control of your finances and really, really, really understanding that you can raise capital, but that does not absolve you of having to really run a business. And I think we lost sight of that fiscal responsibility until we really felt the pain of it. Unfortunately, we were able to recover, make some really, really hard decisions, but able to effectively, you know, start the company over after realizing we took our eye off the prize when it came to fiscal responsibility. And that's something that I talk to a lot of founders about, and it's not easy and it's not always fun, but you have to keep your eye on the finances at all times and to ensure that you're building for long-term sustainability. One of the other early mistakes we made was that we accumulated too much tech debt. And technical debt, as our team says today, is a feature, not a bug. You're never going to get to 100%. And the process is in the journey. And that's what's really, really important, is having the right ability to make trade-offs of, you know, getting rid of technical debt. But in the early stages of the company, we felt so strongly about building quickly, shipping code, getting features that our customers wanted and loved out there, that we accumulated so much. As a result, we had to go through a very, very, very painful full rebuild and overhaul of our entire system. And that's something that I don't wish upon any founder and team, but we learned so much about what it takes to build scalable infrastructure. Related to that, what I've learned is that at a certain point in your company, building new features is the easy part. The harder and more important stuff is the stuff underneath the iceberg, around scalability, infrastructure, security, speed, site reliability, QA processes. And that's the part that founders really need to think about as they consider financial allocation, team size, because that's what's going to make or break your company at a certain scale.
Okay, thank you. So I guess what can you say, and which you already kind of, you shared some things that, you know, you fixed, you know, some solutions, but I guess, can you share some of these things in healthy that are now working for your digital health organization? Maybe just if you want to share a few examples.
Great question. So one of the other early stage mistakes we made is that we waited too long to bring in product leadership. Kevin and I thought we could kind of prioritize, build roadmaps out, hear things from customers if you were talking to customers all day, and then build from that. And that's fine at the earliest stages of the company. But I think once you amass, you know, a certain amount of ARR, a certain number of customers, you really, really, really need to think about processes and then efficiency of those processes. So one of the things that I think we do exceptionally well today is translate, and this is, I make it sound easy, but it's a ton of work and diligence and details, translating every single piece of customer feedback that we get into product board and actually publicly displaying parts of our roadmap for our customers to also plan and view and have visibility onto what we're building, but then also set up notification processes for our customers to know what's upcoming, what we're working on. And that then translates into a very, very robust product roadmap that we have on a quarterly basis that's driven across our product and engineering teams that actually is what contributes to execution of shipping code at the scale and at a high velocity that we can all be really happy with. That is the very high level of that process. But of course, everything under the surface is a work of art. And that's something that takes years and years to really perfect and optimize. For us, it is important that we get this particularly right because we are a SaaS platform, a product-first engineering-heavy company where, you know, 85% of our business today comes from word of mouth and referrals. of our customers talking to other customers and saying whether they like working with Healthy or they don't. And as a result, we really do take that approach of our customers need to be very happy and love our products and our company, because that's what's going to drive long-term success at our company.
Of course. Thank you for that. I did actually, this is more of a curiosity of mine, but also more of a vague question. If you can share maybe something you wish you had, or something that maybe could have helped you in your startup journey, that digital health organizations now have the pleasure of benefiting from today. So obviously, when you were in your startup, this was pre-COVID. So I guess maybe what's something, maybe some tools or models that digital health organizations benefit from now that would have definitely helped you in the beginning stages of your experience?
The benefit of a low-speed economy versus a high-speed economy is that it forces a change in narrative. What we are seeing today, even in, you know, since early 2021 to today, is that there is a real eye towards fiscal responsibility, financial responsibility, and independence. This is a very, very good thing for founders, because a focus on capital efficiency, driven right now by changes in venture capital markets and ability to raise capital, is actually a really good thing for founders, because it forces leadership to really drive towards independence, build into the DNA of a company the fact that you cannot be reliant on external capital forever. And it allows you to make and prioritize how you want to build, what you want to build, what you want to build versus buy, in a way that drives long-term success at the company. We at Healthy talk about the fact that you have to be alive in order to make an impact. And we are here to be around in 10 years. And that has implications on how we think about capital raise, how we think about team building, how we think about burn, and how we think about making sure that we are here to survive through thick and thin of volatility in the markets. And that is something that we learned. We learned the hard way. We made a ton of early stage mistakes, and that I think we blew so much money on the wrong stuff. But fortunately, we're given the ability to learn from that. And my biggest advice to founders is to really think about the financial independence of your company, even if you have the ability to raise an unlimited amount of capital. I think there is a time and place to raise venture capital, and it can do amazing things for your business if you're ready for it. But the worst thing that founders can do is take it on because they believe it is the only path to building a really big and meaningful business, when in reality, there are so many amazing paths to building a meaningful business that don't involve venture capital. And you just have to be okay and aware of what you're doing when you want to raise a round.
So today in digital health, maybe can you explain some of the current issues with funding toward the industry, or any
Here's
tips
my take on, my take on, you know, digital health and venture capital is actually very, very positive. Digital health is still in its infancy relative to the amount of change and innovation that needs to happen in healthcare. It is overall where fintech was 15 years ago, and we're still coming out of COVID at the precipice of what needs to happen in the next 5 to 10 years. I am a huge fan of more innovative capital moving into healthcare, because it will push the ball forward in a way that is long needed. We are actually seeing our portfolio of companies performing insanely well, even in a quote changed environment when it comes to external funding. That is because I believe that there is always money to go around for good, high performing companies. And that is what our companies see in our portfolio of companies. We work with hundreds of digital healthcare startups, see on a day-to-day basis. I think what it means though, is that founders and companies and investors are really looking towards that long-term execution and that long-term viability versus overnight moonshots. That is a good thing for healthcare, because healthcare is not an overnight industry. When you're working in healthcare, you're impacting real people's lives. You're working within the confines of a highly regulated industry, and you're rightly so working within the confines of having to prove clinical excellence and prove clinical outcomes. All of this speaks to a very long-term game for healthcare and digital health in particular. And I love that. I think gone are the days where it's like, boom, overnight success, but that's not what builds real change. What builds real change is the resiliency of companies and founders. And that's what tightening capital markets are providing.
Got it. Thank you. Now, does healthy, or maybe is it ideal for healthcare organizations who do offer digital health services or operations? Is it ideal for them to utilize value-based payment models?
We support organizations that participate in value-based care. So our platform, so we're the infrastructure powering these virtual first organizations, facilitates that. With regards to the premise of value-based care, we've been talking about value-based care as a healthcare industry for the last 15 to 20 years. I'm excited to finally and hopefully see some movement in actual drive towards movement towards. I got a little baby here too. Towards actually building value-based care. So that's something I'm very excited about.
Thanks for tuning into this month's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts, and follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit us at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.